The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Brought to you by Standard Life. Retirement specialists getting you ready for your second life.
Now, how will tech affect the world and your life in 2026? Will the EU cave to the US on tech regulation? Is the AI bubble set to burst? And what big companies look set to thrive or dive? And will dodgy box users here really be fined? Are you going to be in trouble if you have one? Well, here with 10 predictions of what to expect over the coming year is Adrian Weckler, tech editor of the Irish Independent and host of the Big Tech Show podcast. Adrian, good morning. And your predictions, I suppose some of them people will find, will say, yeah, okay, fairly obvious. Others, less so. Talk to me about an Apple folding phone.
Yeah, to be honest, I would have thought that's one of the more obvious ones. So anybody who's been looking at the development of smartphones in recent years will have seen Samsung with several folding phones on the market. They haven't sold particularly well, but it launched a couple of models a few years ago. Now we have models from the likes of Honor, from Google Pixel. And the big question has always been, yeah, but when will Apple do it? When will the iPhone that I have be available in a folding model? And it looks very likely that that's going to happen this year. But, and there's a very, very big asterisk beside this, the price tag attached to it is likely to be a minimum of €2,500, I would project.
Oh, and Apple, I mean, $1,000 was a benchmark for me too. Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, €1,000, we breached that €1,000 mark a few years ago. And so at that kind of money, €2,500, maybe even €3,000, you're basically relegating it to the kind of the middle-aged dad, sort of, the kind of person who likes to put like a leatherette wallet around their phone. People my age, in my generation, and that's what has happened with the Samsung, the large Samsung folding phones, for example. It's a very niche market, but it looks like Apple will do it.
Some of your other predictions then, AI will become an everyday thing for most people, but obvious bubble losers will emerge. Who will the bubble losers be?
Well, we're already seeing a few of them. I mean, Oracle has lost almost half of its value over the last 2 months because it did such big deals with OpenAI, which is the company that we know owns ChatGPT. Even Nvidia, which is the big winner of the AI bubble because it's the company that sells the chips that the data centers need. It's the most valuable company in the world. That has lost 20% of its value. What's happening is that the markets and investors are now starting to ask much sharper questions. They're saying to the AI companies, yes, that's all fantastic, but are you making any money? How much revenue are you making? And in some cases, it's hardly any. So Palantir, for example, is a big AI software company, mostly for defense contracts. And its entire revenue last year was $4 billion. It's valued at over $400 billion, leading to the quip that's the only company in history that's made five billionaires of a company with revenue of $4 billion. So that's the kind of bubble. They're the kind of companies that we think are vulnerable to being losers. But AI is not going away. What I think is that by the end of 2026, most ordinary people listening to this radio show right now, most of them will use AI every day. They'll use either ChatGPT every day or Google Gemini. They'll replace what they're doing currently with Google. They'll be looking stuff up about their ailments, their health. They'll be looking stuff about how to open their car's bonnet or replace the oil. That's what they're going to be using ChatGPT for.
Yeah, and I'd say there will be an awful lot of us by this time next year and even already who are using AI without really realizing it. It's just become so integrated into daily life.
Yeah, that is definitely true. What I think is that people are going to use it knowing that they're using it. So I think AI is going from the, yeah, I've heard about it and I'm guessing that it's probably in some of the stuff that I use already into, no, I use ChatGPT every day. That's what I think is going to happen by the end of 2026.
You talked about the stock climbing there. Intel is one that you're backing, and a company that up to quite recently looked like it was in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, it was a disaster for a few years there. I mean, Intel used to be, you know, the big flagship chip company in the world. And by this time last year, it was worth something like 1/50th of what Nvidia was worth. It missed the smartphone revolution. It missed the AI revolution. Now it's making a turnaround. I got a tour of the Intel factory there a few weeks back. And I was surprised by how many new customers they're signed. They have a thing called the Foundry, which is they make chips for other companies. And they have one big customer, a Taiwan company called MediaTek. They make chips for things like your microwave oven and your fridge. They're signing a lot more of those customers. The stock price is up 80% over the last 6 or 7 months. And I think that business is going to go very strong. So that's good news for people in LeakSlip.
Yeah. Now, something that ties into a couple of your predictions, it was on the front page of, I think it was the Mail yesterday, we were discussing it on the show. And this is this idea of needing some sort of a digital wallet to get online. I know the UK has brought in restrictions on particularly minors accessing certain content. And the government is talking about a pilot program where you will have to have basically a government app on your phone in order to access certain 18 plus content, I suppose. Mm. Where do you think all of this is going? And the actual regulation of it, it seems to be a minefield.
Yeah, I think we are heading into a potential mandatory but not compulsory era, right, for social media. In other words, what the government here, and across Europe, by the way, this is a pan-European thing. This year, we introduce a thing called the EU Digital Identity Wallet. It's the same as the digital wallet on your iPhone or your Android phone that you have already, that you put your concert tickets into or your boarding passes. But this one, which is set up and designed supposedly securely by the state, will be able to hold things like your passport, your driver's license, health information. And the central idea here that the government is pushing now is, right, now that we have this on your phone, we're going to try and make it a requirement to use social media. So in other words, it's an updated version of, upload your passport to use Facebook. Now, it's not the same as uploading your passport to use Facebook because there are more safety and security checks there. I think every few years, a politician suggests that, upload your passport to use Facebook. And most of us go, I don't think we're comfortable with that. What the government is hoping is that it has a wind behind its back. It's hoping that people are tired enough of toxic discourse online and disinformation and all that kind of stuff that they'll support the idea that, you know, you should ban anonymity. That's what this is about. It's about banning anonymity online. Now, there are huge problems with this. If you'd suggested this a few years ago, I think most people would have thought it was dystopian. It was a little bit Big Brotherish, but that's the push at the moment.
Yeah, I suppose the people agree largely on where we want to get to. It's the getting there. And a lot of people will say, if you look at the public services cards, albeit that was a few years ago, people distrust the government as much as they distrust Facebook.
Well, this is an issue. Now, it doesn't help any of us to be cynical on this issue because we, as you say, we're all trying to get to the same place, which is a little bit more harmony, a bit more of a civil discourse online. The public services card was interesting because, as you remember, at the time it was brought in for certain purposes, and then the government tried to start making it mandatory, to do things like get a driving test, and because they just couldn't resist it, because here's a piece of government ID that we can use, and that introduced this idea of mandatory but not compulsory. And it looks like they want to do the same with social media. I'd be very surprised if they get this one through. The vector they're going to try and do it is to say, well, this would be a good way to verify the ages of kids, to stop kids getting online on social media. And you can see how there is a bit of a wind behind that. The Australian ban on under 16s, even though it's not really working, it is quite popular. So I think all of those factors are pushing this general groundswell, and the government here is seeing whether there's an appetite for it, essentially that you have to use state ID, to send a WhatsApp or comment on Facebook.
Yeah. One of your other predictions for this coming year, Adrian, the war on dodgy boxes. We saw it escalate this year. Is it going to ramp up again?
Yeah, I think it is for a couple of reasons. So where we left the end of 2025 with the dodgy box issue was that we had Sky, which leads the sort of anti-dodgy box campaign in Ireland, because it kind of has the most to lose because it spends the most on sport and movies. So its subscriptions, 40, 60, 80, 100 quid a month. One in five Irish households are estimated to have a dodgy box. Sky then becomes the main loser out of that. So it leads that fight. And what it's trying to do is to sort of set the climate here to follow what Italy is doing. And in Italy, What they've done is they now fine individual dodgy box users, not the distributors, not the people who sell it, not the people who are the back end sort of, you know, criminals or whatever, the people who use the dodgy box. And the way they do that is every time there's a police raid on a dodgy box distributor, they get the list of the clients, the customers, and then they get the equivalent of, say, a penalty points notice in the post. They're tracked down and they have to pay, you know, whatever it is, 100 euro, 200 euro in a fine. So I think that's what the broadcast industry would like to see happen in 2026 in Ireland. I think it might take legislative change to do that. So that's a bit of an outside shot for that actually to get over the line in 2026. But that's where we're going.
Hit them in the wallet or even the digital wallet, as it may well be. Adrian Weckler, the tech editor of the Irish Independent, thank you so much for joining us, previewing those tech stories that are going to be coming our way over the next 12 months.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Brought to you by Standard Life. Retirement specialists getting you ready for your second life.